Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Morgan Stanley, who helped Uber raise capital to rethink transportation. Capital creates more mobility. More at morganstanley.com/Uber. Morgan Stanley & Co., LLC, member SIPC.
These startups aren't tech companies, they're banks.
From Wall Street to Main Street to your street, this is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. At long last, new banks are opening up. Startup banks were on the endangered species list during the financial crisis, but the Wall Street Journal says eight groups have filed applications in recent months with the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation to open new banks. Why? Let's ask Rachel Witkowski, reporter for the Wall Street Journal's FinReg Pro. Rachel, I suspect this has something to do with the deregulatory push by the Trump administration. Oh, but what is really behind the rise in applications to start community banks?
Right. So there is an interesting dichotomy going on right now. So some of the groups that are trying to start a bank right now have told me that they were encouraged to see the GOP and the new administration push to deregulate the compliance areas that they have to deal with that have scared them off for so long. But even before that, some had been applying in the hope that small businesses are looking for loans again. They're not getting the loans that they need, the small dollar loans that they need from larger institutions. So there's a gap that's getting larger and larger that these groups want to fill.
Wasn't there a dearth of applications or a relative lack of banks, you know, in the past 8 years because they didn't want any sort of repeat of the financial crisis?
Yeah. So there's another part of this is the FDIC that approves the government insurance on all of our deposits. And almost every bank charter hinges on that. So in 2008, the FDIC had approved 28 new banks. And then after that, not a single approval had occurred until 2013. And between 2013 to 2015, only three banks were ever approved. So you saw approvals completely stop. And then as bankers started to realize they weren't getting approved, they just stopped applying completely. So last year was the first time we actually saw two banks approved in 1 year, and it happened at the end of the year almost succinctly.
If I understand correctly, it's eight applications within the past year. Is that right, Rachel?
Yeah, eight applications in 2016.
Eight applications within a year, I guess nowadays, seems like a lot, but it's probably nothing compared to the number of applications regulators received pre-crisis to open community banks. Isn't that right?
Exactly. So for a span of 8 years since 2000, there were at least 100 banks that had applied. I'm looking at a chart now from the FDIC that, you know, 2008, there were 101 banks. It went all the way up to 299 applications in 2005. So you're talking about hundreds of applications that are now down to eight.
I'm speaking with Rachel Witkowski of the Wall Street Journal, and you're listening to Your Money Matters.
This podcast is sponsored by HSBC. When it's time to take your business international or take your international presence to a whole new level, HSBC has the network to connect you to the world. Search HSBC International to learn more.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Rachel, hasn't the FDIC been criticized heavily for the lack of community banks since the depth of the crisis in 2009?
Yeah, so last year during the summer, lawmakers had called for the head of the FDIC to scrutinize the agency for not approving applications or approving very few in the past few years. And their argument has always been, you know, we're in the period of a prolonged low interest rate environment. It's very hard to show in your business plan that you can be a viable new bank in such a tight environment where you can't really make the spread to be profitable.
And can you tell me now how many community banks there are across the country compared to how many there were, you know, let's say 10 or 20 years ago?
Sure. So this is kind of where a lot of the community bankers like to point out. I'm going off a bit of memory here, but there's roughly 5,100 commercial banks in the U.S., and that was as of the third quarter of last year. That's 5,100 compared to 9,700 in 1996. So it's roughly half. There was a period even before 96 where you had almost 16,000 banks. So you're talking about almost 16,000, and now we're down to 5,100.
And to reiterate, community bank heads say more such banks are needed to provide more lending options to startups and small businesses. Isn't that right?
Yeah. So when you really boil it down, think about driving through a rural community. Most of the time, you don't see mega banks lined up in the smaller communities, the rural areas. You see a local community bank. And so there are a lot of areas that people often forget when they're in Washington that don't have any institutions or have only half. I mean, even where I grew up in Florida, the banks that I used to talk to there as a reporter are down to at least half at this point.
Rachel Witkowski, reporter for The Wall Street Journal's FinRegPro, thank you very much for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
And that's this edition of Your Money Matters. Thank you for listening. I'm Charlie Turner at the news desk in New York.
For more podcasts, check us out at wsj.com/podcasts. Become a subscriber on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and now look for us on the Google Play Music app on Android devices.